visitor, first-time visitor, we have a visitor's packet we'd like to give you. So if you are a first-time visitor and you haven't received that packet, if you'd raise your hand at this time, and the ushers will bring one to you, as well as some information about our church. There's also a visitor's card inside. If you take a moment and fill out that card and drop it in the offering plate when it's passed, we'd appreciate having a record of your attendance with us. Again, welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church. Brother Mike Nelson is going to come at this time and lead us in prayer.
Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for another beautiful morning that we're able to gather here in your house, Lord, and sing praise of your holy name, Lord, and talk to you in prayer and ask your special blessings and requests that we have brought before you, Lord. We also want to pray for the offering that we're going to be having today, Lord, that it would be able to be used in a mighty way to help spread your gospel around this lost and dying world. We just thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord, for being not just what you've done for us this week or last week or today, but for being God and for being the creator of all things and for providing us the free gift of salvation. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We just pray, Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, we just pray that this be the day that through the preaching of your word that the Holy Spirit would convict them and they would not leave this place without becoming a child of the King. We ask all these things and wish you were to give your name honor and praise for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Jesus came into my heart. that you're here. The men will leave at 1 o'clock on Friday. And if you have not paid CMS Kim $65 for your trip, we'll leave at 1 o'clock from here on Friday, headed to Georgia, be back Saturday. Today is the Sunday after Valentine's Day, and so we always here at the church, we try to recognize our widows and widowers. So if you are a widow or widower this morning, would you please stand? Do not want to embarrass you, but we do want to honor you. The Bible says in James 1:27 that pure religion, now religion doesn't do much for you, but there is a statement in the Bible. I mostly and most often prefer our relationship with Christ, but it does say pure religion is this, is that we care for the widows and the fatherless. And so this morning, if I could get four of my young strapping men to come on up here. Strong men. Young men. Come on. 17 and up, Jared. Jared, I want the older boys. They got to do something that you ain't going to want to do, buddy, I promise you. They are my proxy this morning because I'm married. I can't be kissing on another woman, so they got to kiss on this woman. Daniel, you're married, son. Can't have it. I need young men. Daniel, Victor, let's go with it. What I need you to do, Victor, I need you to go up there to Miss Clatchy, tell her you love her, God loves her, give her a kiss on the forehead, and tell her Happy Valentine's Day. I need you to go to Sister Miriam, give her a kiss on the forehead, say I love you, God loves you. Right here, Sister Sister Swagman. See her there, Miss Jackie. What you gonna do? What else you gonna do? I need you to go back here to Miss Myra. And Miss Myra, right there in front of Brother Scott. What you gonna do? And we have one over here. I need, Benji, I need you to come back, sir. Abdel, I got one more over here. You got this Sister Betty. What, did you forget what you're going to do? Tell me again. Tell me. And what else is on? Sister Betty Collins. Right there. Benji, where are you at, buddy? I need you to go to Miss Nelson in the nursery. Do the same thing in the nursery for Sister Jadina. Did I miss one of our ladies up here? All right, Kirsten, I need your help. No kissing for you, okay? You take this brother Dwayne to Chase and tell him that you love him and Jesus loves him. He's sitting right there, right behind Brother Don. Brother Don, raise your hand, right there. The man behind Brother Don. Don't let Brother Don cheat you. I need one more. Come here. This one, no kissing. Yeah. I need you to take this here. Take it back there to Miss Aisha. Tell her you love her and Jesus loves her. Miss Aisha. James chapter 1, pure religion is this, that we care for the widows and fatherless. So give them a hand, please.
Says you don't have fun in church. Take your song book, turn to page number 355. You may remain seated as we sing He Loves Me, 355. have a thank you note here from Sister Stockton. Dear Lock Haven ladies, each of you have always been better to me than anyone could ever dream, and I am truly so thankful for the thousands of ways you bless me each week. Thank you for making me feel like a queen for my birthday. The thoughts, prayers, and lovely gifts brought me so much encouragement and quite a few joyful tears. You all have my heart. For souls, Kimberly Stockton. And do be praying for those on our prayer list. Quite a few are out. Sister Haley is out. Brother Johnson is not here this morning. Others who are not here. And Sister Russell requested a special prayer for her aunt, for her son, for sickness, and also he'll be traveling, and also for Tim. So take your songbook, turn to page number 359. Let's stand together, and the ushers will come forward on the last verse of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 359.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord for the sweet by and by. Good to see all of you here. We're going to be in Romans chapter number 11 this morning. Romans chapter number 11 this morning, verse number 6. Romans chapter 11, verse number 6. We're going to look at a question that has been around for a long, long time. Works or grace? Works or grace? It's either one or the other on the grounds of salvation. Works or grace? Can't be both because they're two different things. Completely two different things. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse number 6, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. It's one or another. So we want to find out what the Bible says. 166 times the Bible mentions the word grace. Many have heard the word grace explained like this. God's riches at Christ's expense. And what that means is when you put grace sideways, you write out G-R-A-C-E, and it's God's riches at Christ's expense. So what that says to me is I get to enjoy all of God's riches. Now, if you don't understand how rich God is, the Bible says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's just a drop in the bucket. Just a drop, I see. So when we talk about riches, you and I kind of look at it in maybe a 401k, the things we gathered up, maybe our bank account, or nest egg, what we call it, or pension. But the stuff that you and I work for and get paid by, God just decided to show us that He'd just make a street of gold. It means nothing. He's so wealthy, He's so rich that He made the street of heaven out of gold. We got doors. There are metal doors, wood doors, glass doors, different types of doors. Some doors are more elaborate than others. In heaven, God decided to make the gates out of a pearl. Each gate. There's 12 gates. I don't know about you, I never really liked oysters at all, but when you talk about an oyster that can make a pearl big enough to make a gate, that's a pretty big pearl. So the things that you and I talk about making wealth, make one wealthy, to God, it's just an object, just a thing. Street of gold. We walk on it for eternity, by the way. Gates of pearl. So when we now that we got that behind us, we understand, okay, Warren Buffett, he don't have nothing on God. The monies that he's got, George Soros, the monies he's got. So when we think about grace, we think of it like this. Because of Christ, because of what my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what Christ has done for me, I get to enjoy all of God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. And there's a big difference between grace and mercy. Now, grace is something that is unmerited favor. I mean, I get to enjoy it. Not because I did something, not because I was able to produce something. There was no rate of return on me. As a matter of fact, all my righteousness, every bit of my righteousness, the Bible records it like this, all my righteousness are as filthy rags. So the grace that I enjoy through Christ, at Christ's expense, it's unmerited. It's given to me just because God can. I saw a quote this week And it said this, how can we understand that God's love is unconditional unless we have fallen? There's no understanding it unless we come to the realization that we are sinners before a holy and righteous God, and we have nothing to offer God. That if Christ extends, I get to enjoy the riches of God, the unmerited favor of God is poured out upon my life because I'm getting something that I do not deserve. Now mercy is a little bit different. Mercy withholds judgment based upon the shed blood of Christ. I deserve punishment. I deserve the wrath of God. But because of the mercy of God, God withholds the judgment that I truly deserve. I truly deserve this, but God withholds that. That's mercy. Grace goes way beyond mercy, dear friend. Grace, dear friend, goes farther than we can ever imagine. When I trust Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, listen, grace makes me part of God's family. Grace makes me a son in God's family. So grace is far greater than I can imagine. Now here's the key to it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says that if I would humble myself, the Almighty God of heaven, God in heaven, will exalt me in due time. Okay, the first thing I've got to understand is there's a difference. There's grace and there's works. And that's what we're looking at. If I show up, Brother Jim, with God, with the works of my hands and the works of my life, there goes along with that with a little bit of pride. It says, God, here it is. This morning, the junior Sunday school girls brought me this plate. It's called a sharing plate. They said, now, Pastor, you have to take one and you got to pass it on. That's kind of selfish. You make a man my size stare at this here. I mean, cookies galore, 3 cupcakes, a donut that's half chocolate, half sprinkling. And they said, Pastor, you got to take one and then share it. And underneath this napkin is a message. Well, I hope the plate gets back to me with at least one item back on it so I can see the message. I mean, this is quite the work. There was some effort into this. This is something that they, as a Sunday school class and as a teacher, they should be proud of. I mean, they did a great job. I mean, look at that. I mean, that is, some of you have a little trouble seeing it. Some of you are wanting a glass of milk right now. Yeah, or a cup of coffee or something. I mean, look at that. I mean, take one as a sharing plate and share it. That's God's riches. And we get to share an eternal life, not because of works of righteousness which we have done, but because of the grace of God. I did nothing as their pastor to deserve even one cookie. But because they thought that this would be a wonderful thing to do and to pass along, they said, take one and share it. When I stand before God, and I say, God, look at the accomplishments that I have done. Look at what I've done. I stand there exalted in my own works. He that humbles himself, he that approaches God, says, God, I'm a sinner that could not and cannot and would never be able to accomplish eternal life outside of Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. God's riches at Christ's expense. I didn't have to go to the cross of Calvary. I didn't have to be whipped 40 times, save one. I didn't have to have my beard plucked out. I didn't have to be spit upon. I didn't have to have my clothes gambled away on. I didn't have to lay down my life as a lamb slain to the slaughter. I didn't have to do none of that. I had to realize I was a sinner before God Almighty and trust Christ as my first Lord and Savior. And the grace of God reaches down into my life and makes me His child. Great difference. We are saved by grace. And I'm going to show you a few verses that are very familiar. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, "And if by grace, then is it no more by works." So we got to get understanding, dear friend, that it's not by works of righteousness, as Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, but it's according to His mercy that we're saved. It's according to His righteousness, because all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But we, when we put faith and trust in Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and we put faith and trust in Him, it is Christ's righteousness that is imputed unto us. Therefore, we stand before God as justified in the sight of God because of the grace of God that gave His only begotten Son, that you and I might have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen, salvation is settled instantaneously. When I trust Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, from the heart, the Bible says, a man believeth unto righteousness. And when I put faith and trust in Him, and I show repentance toward God for my religious works, my bad works, my good works, and the things that I've done in this flesh and this body, and I lay it before God, I say, God, they're nothing. I accept the Lamb of God, the atonement, the redemption that's through Jesus Christ. Instantly, I am saved and part of the family of God. In the moment that I trust Christ by faith, I am saved. Yeah. Salvation isn't over then, dear friend. And I'm not saying it's a process. There is no process. Here's the process. Admit you're a sinner before God. Trust by faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross, buried, rose again the third day, and ask Him to forgive you, and you shall be saved. Amen. That's the process. But there's a whole lot that goes on from that point on. When we trust Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, right there, immediately, at that moment, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. What's the penalty of sin? The Bible says in Romans, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So, at that moment, the penalty of sin is what? To spend eternity in the devil's hell. Death is speaking of the second death. That is it, the penalty. And so when I trust Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, I have eternal life and I have been saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is to be without God for all eternity, which I deserve, but because of mercy, because of grace, I am now part of God's family. So I'm saved immediately from the penalty of sin. Therefore, no more does the wrath of God abide upon me. I'm His child. He looks at me as a child. I can call Him Abba Father. Now listen, I fall, I make mistakes, I do things wrong. I roll down this hill and I slip down that hill and I make a mess of this and I make a mess of that. My fellowship with God is disturbed. But my relationship is fixed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks at me through the eyes of the beloved. I am His child. Though I disappoint, though I make mistakes, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise yet again. though that I have sinned and trampled the blood of Christ and made a mockery of the salvation which so easily has been given to me through, not easily, through such a difficult path of God watching His Son, Jesus Christ, dying on that cross and even turning His back upon His own Son because He could not look upon sin. It was not an easy thing. It was a difficult thing. It was a horrible thing that Christ had to endure for you and I. But so easy for you and I to be born again. By faith and faith alone through the grace of God that has been given to us. So at the moment I'm saved from the penalty of sin. Then it begins to work in my life. The salvation that's been given to me begins to work within and deep within. And I am being saved from the power of sin day by day. I'm telling you, friends, sin had a hold on me when I was a young man, and I'd walked down those paths and I'd done things that I shouldn't have done and indulged in things of the appetite of the flesh that I should not have done. Dear friend, when I got saved and trusted Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, the old man died, but the flesh lived forever. It lived on. The flesh lived, and the desires and the appetite of the flesh still craved. And so I begin to get power, and I'm getting saved from the power of sin. I'm telling you, sin has a powerful hold on people. Look with me over in Romans chapter 6, if you would, this minute. Romans chapter number 6. Look at verse 13. Well, how are you, what do you mean you're being saved from the power of sin? Listen, dear friend, as I yield myself to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in my life, He gets stronger, He grows stronger, I wax stronger in the Lord. The pull of this earth, the pull of this flesh is no longer carnal, but is of a divine nature, and I begin to see the importance of living right and living godly and living holy because, listen, the Holy Spirit of God lives within me, and I quit and I stop quenching Him and I stop causing separation of fellowship with God Almighty. Look at Romans 6 and verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but what? Under grace, dear friend. God's riches at Christ's expense. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God bethink that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Dear friend, that is a process. Oh, dear friend, when I trusted Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, the penalty of sin was wiped away. My sin was placed in the sea of forgiveness and a sign was put up. No fishing here. And listen, dear friend, when I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and the devil comes whispering in my ear to remind me of those sins that I've committed, and I go to my Heavenly Father, He reminds me, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all sins and iniquity. My dear friend, listen to me. The penalty of sin upon salvation is done away with upon trusting Christ, my personal Lord and Savior. Oh, but this yielding to the Holy Spirit, this yielding to the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in my life and yielding myself as a servant of righteousness, it's difficult. It's difficult. This is an ongoing process. This is one. Such were some of you, but now, what happened? You started discerning that, hey, this way of life of transgression against God's laws and God's ways, it is hard. So you start making better choices. with your life. And so this is a process of being saved from the power of sin. I don't understand these folks that believe that just because they got born again that sin will never affect them again. That's why we have to be so careful to guard what's in our house and in our ears and in our eyes and what we read and the places we frequent and the things that we say and the things that we do and the friends we hang around with. That's why we got to be so careful, because listen, dear friend, sin is powerful. And listen, after you're saved, Satan can't have your soul, but he sure robbed you of your testimony. And then, not only am I saved immediately from the penalty of sin, well, how do you know that? For the thief on the cross had no time to get down and rectify anything that he had done wrong. But Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The penalty of sin was gone when he put faith and trust in Christ. But the power of sin that I fight. Well, give me an example. How about Peter? You're talking about a man that could preach and 3,000. I mean, they heard him preach. There were 17 different languages. They heard him preach. They trusted Christ. They were baptized. They were added to the church. I mean, this was a man. But whoa, let's digress and back up a moment. It wasn't but a few hours before that, and Peter done went back to his old sailor ways, didn't he? He was up in there in the garden, supposed to have been praying, but he was sleeping. Remember, who you yield your body to, that's who you're going to be servant to. He should have been praying. Can you not, Peter? Please, boys, wake up 3 times. Sleep on. Even the Lord got tired of it. Some of you that's got 4 or 5 alarms set, that's an example for you. Even after the third one, the Lord got tired of waking them up. Some of y'all got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning since you start hitting snooze at 12:30. Every 15 minutes. Dear friend, don't you know you get better sleep if you just sleep on to 4:30, wake on up and get on up out of bed? And you won't wake everybody else up in the room with you. Oh, Lord. So he's there. And he's supposed to be sleeping. He's supposed to be praying, yielding himself to his instrument of righteousness. Can we all agree today that prayer is righteous? That's what he's supposed to be yielding himself to. What was he yielding himself to? He had done played Fortnite all night long. Should have been at work. Should have been going to work, but he had been fighting with somebody over in China and Japan and Taiwan. You know, that their dials are different. We had to figure that out. Man, those guys are beating me. They're wide awake. That's why it's daytime over there. 2 o'clock in the morning here. Get off of Fortnite. Get this. So he should have been praying, but he was sleeping. And then when the soldiers came, guess what he did? Instead of doing the righteous thing, he did the carnal thing by doing what? Pulling his sword. Whack! Then pulled his sword and Jesus healed the ear. He went his way and they took Jesus off. Next thing you know, he said, "Oh man, I should have did that." You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I could see Peter. I walked that walk. But David, I've seen that. I've been there. I messed up and I've made a mess of things. And I'm how did I get myself in that? Why did I say that? I told some the other day, I need a speed bump between my mind and my mouth. And I'm there. But I ain't, Brother Biz, I haven't got it quite worked out, Brother Randy. It's not all good. And before I know it, Brother Jeff, somebody says something to me. You know what I do? I blessed them out too. Is that not what Peter did? Is that not exactly what he did? He should have been praying, yielding to righteousness. He was sleeping. He should have been, "Be ye kind one to another." Is that not a biblical principle? He's whacking off ears. Does sweet things and bitter things come out of the mouth of these things ought not be shown. So, guess what he did? Bitter things spewed out. So, you know what happened? Peter yielded. He got himself right. He even went fishing. took some of his buddies with him. The Lord had to call him to dine. The Lord had to confront him. And the Lord had said, listen, Peter, do you love me? And he got where he was at, and he got him right. And then, before we know it, Peter is yielded as an instrument of righteousness. The power of sin. So it's a process. It's a go. It's a going forth. And then, this is an amazing thing, dear friend. I can't wait for this day. I cannot wait for this day. And salvation, dear friend, I am going to be saved from the very presence of sin. Oh, I can't wait for the trump of God. Look with me, if you would, over in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans 13, 11, the Bible says this. And that knowing the time, that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Hold up. What are you talking about, Paul? What's on my salvation? I was born again right there when I trusted Christ, my personal Lord and Savior. Oh, dear friend, I'm talking about the day, dear Brother Bernie, I'm talking about the day that I don't have to see a billboard that draws my temptations and my lusts. I'm talking about the day that I don't have to see a television movie and it draws the flesh of my heart out. I'm talking about the day that whenever I see a lady walking down the road that I don't look again with lust. And I'm talking about the day that I, as a man, as a friend, I am godly and I'm right in the eyes of God. I'm talking about it's near. Oh, I can't wait, dear friend, to the day either I die or go home with the Lord because of the rapture. But there is a day I'll be saved from the presence of sin. How is that? Because there is no sin in heaven. None. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. One day when I walk down that street of gold and I come out of my mansion and I go, there won't be no such thing as lust and temptation. It'll all be done away with. All done away with. So we're talking about grace. See, words can never do all this. Because you know what would happen? We'd get to heaven, Brother Eden, this is what we'd do. You'd have a power pole that needs running power over your house. You had to put it up. You'd look over there to the mother line and you'd say, my pole's straighter than your pole. In heaven. That's what we do. If we had to do it, you know what the Bible says? Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house is many mansions. And he says this, I am going to prepare a place for you. You ain't got to worry about them poles, brother. He's going to put them himself. Be the power of the Holy Spirit of God coming out. No day, no night, we'll never need a light because we're under the light of the Son of God. No need power. He is power. It's not by works. All this could not take place by works. And we're kept by grace. We couldn't, listen, after we get saved, dear friend, there's not a thousand things we could do to keep us saved. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed until the day of redemption, says Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. When is that? The day we go home to be with the Lord. So we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. How is that? By grace. Does it really say that? It sure does. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto his praise, unto the praise of his glory. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's by the grace of God that He gave us the Holy Spirit of God. It was His grace. You know what He said to Paul? Paul approached Him and said, Lord, I've got this thorn in my flesh. I've approached You three times. I've asked You to help me with this. I've asked You to help me get this thing right, to get whatever was ailing him. I don't know if it was a thought, a mouth, a word, or if it was a health issue, if it was blindness. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but ask some of these smarter theologians. They'll tell you all kind of things that's not in the Bible. And then we'll get to heaven, and Paul say, no, I had an ingrown toenail. I don't know what y'all talking about. I went down to that Chinese restaurant. God help. I went down to that Chinese toenail place. They pulled it out three times, and it hurt. And I said, God, help me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It says that? No. I don't know what his ailment was. I know three times. He said, God, would you please? God, will you please? God, will you please? And God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. It's only by the grace of God that God chose to give us the Holy Spirit of God to help us along the way. Through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, He is the unction that we have, that we can have understanding through the Scriptures, the learning from the Bible, and we're taught by grace, and we're taught to understand Scripture because the grace of God which gave us the Holy Spirit of God to say, hey, I love you, and this is how much I love you. You ever heard this statement? I love you to the moon and back. God said, I love you so much, I'm going to give you a part of me until the purchase day of your redemption. Until the day that I take you up, until the day that I pull you out of this here place called the world, this place of sin, and here, that is how much I love you. That's only by grace. Only by grace. You know, it's the grace of God that motivates us. You know, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. If it wasn't for that, dear friend, God's grace reaching out into our life, we'd end up into a terrible, terrible fix in our lives. But He brings goodness in our life to bring us to repentance and motivate us to do right by Him. What do you mean? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present yourself a holy, acceptable sacrifice unto God. He said, I beseech you by the mercies. It is by the grace of God that we are able to even take our next step. We're sustained by Him and kept by Him and we're taught by Him. So there's a difference, dear friend. Grace or works? I don't know about you, dear friend. On this earth, and my earthly job that we have, I sure am glad that we get paid according to works. But I'm thankful for eternity. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. Because if I, you know as well as I do, there's been some days you've done some work here on this earth. It hadn't been what you was paid to do. You cut corners, you cheated time, you snuck out, you lagged around. Oh, Pastor, I work hard. Time I clock in, time I clock out. Bless your heart. I'm glad you're telling the truth right now. But you know as well as that there's days that you don't do right by your employer. It's just that way. We're human. We're sinful. Sometimes, Brother Chris, we just get tired. Sometimes we look over and say, man, I can get to that tomorrow. Or I can do like Brother Dwayne tells us sometimes, that maybe there'll be a third ship that comes in here and prints something. Maybe that's how we think. I am so thankful that I am not basing my eternity on works, but it's based upon God's riches at Christ's expense. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Candace is coming. Maybe, perhaps, there's somebody here this morning that has been putting a lot of effort, humanly speaking, in finding a home in heaven. Jesus said, come unto him, he'll give you rest. But friend, it's not by works that you can conjure up and do. It's by grace.